And we are going to begin this Feel Free Friday by visiting with Dr. Sheila Allison, who specializes in OBGYN at UNC Women's Health at Briar Creek, a conversation presented by the Durham Orange County Medical Society to mark the month of October as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Dr. Sheila Allison joining us from UNC Women's Health. Thank you so much for being with us today.
My pleasure.
So, first of all, tell us about yourself and your practice and your connection with Durham Orange County Medical Society.
So even though I'm an obstetrician gynecologist, I only practice gynecology. So I focus a lot on women's health and breast cancer prevention, actually. I am a past board member of the Durham Orange County Medical Society and a current member.
And tell us about your work and your research.
Well, so I see women for all phases of gynecology. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of menopausal and hormone work. So I'm focused in on women's needs in that stage of life and make sure that their lifestyle is such that it promotes healthy living.
And you were mentioning the prevention of breast cancer. And I know you have focused on the influence of endocrine disruptors. What are those? What do they mean?
Yes. Well, there are three things primarily that affect the development of breast cancer. The genetic component is one, but that really only accounts for about 5 to 27% of women who are diagnosed with breast cancer. The remaining 70% falls in the category of lifestyle and environmental influences. Mm-hmm. Environmental influences is where endocrine disruptors come in. Endocrine disruptors are environmental chemicals that disrupt the function of the hormones that we normally produce. And unfortunately, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And what researchers have found out, not only do they influence us as adolescents and adults, but it also is an influence for developing fetuses. Mm-hmm. They have tested the cord blood of pregnant women and found all kinds of chemicals that women are exposed to during pregnancy. And these chemicals are also exposed to the developing fetus and influences the developing fetus's health later.
So what are some of those chemicals?
So there are three main places we find endocrine disruptors. Mm-hmm. One is food, and that's in the category of pesticides and herbicides. Mm-hmm. So we encourage people to be really, we would love everyone to eat organic, but we realize that's not realistic and is not always cost effective. But we really encourage you to be selective in the food that you choose. There's some categories that are worse than others, like berries, strawberries, blueberries, raspberries are considered highly toxic. But be really careful in washing your food. Mm-hmm. Another category is lifestyle. Another category of endocrine disruptors would be what we find in makeup and hair care products. Mm-hmm. And those are things that we've probably heard about, like parabens and phthalates and sodium lauryl. So what these do is they mimic the hormones that we normally make. They combine with the receptors, block the normal hormones, and cause abnormal growth of the cells. Mm-hmm. The third category is in household products like cleaning products and plastics. We've all heard about bisphenol A, which is also called BPA, which is found in plastics. And that is a huge endocrine disruptor that has been found in the cord blood of pregnant women.
So what are some of your recommendations?
Well, we talked about trying to eat organic.
Right.
We're certainly cleaning the food. Try to avoid BPA plastic bottles. There are some canned vegetables and food that are lined with BPA, so you want to try to avoid that as much as possible. And be really careful about reading labels. A lot of makeups, unfortunately, there are at least 13 chemicals that have been banned by the European Union that we still allow in makeup and skincare products here. No one regulates the skincare and the beauty industry in this country, the cosmetic industry. So they are allowed to put anything they want. So sometimes I think even buying makeup that's manufactured in Europe, you're giving yourself a much better chance.
Speaking with Dr. Sheila Allison, again, conversation presented by the Durham-Orange County Medical Society, marking the month of October as Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And you've had a lot of experience in women's medicine, and you're focusing on prevention, but you're also looking at diagnosis and treatments. What advances have we seen?
Well, the good news is that there's actually a 40% decrease in breast cancer deaths from 1989 to current. So that's the good news. In 2019, 260,000 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer and 500 men.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is that that is primarily in Caucasian women. African American women have a higher death rate because they are more likely to be diagnosed with triple negative. Okay? So we actually want to really be diligent in making sure that our patients are doing self-breast exam and are getting mammograms as necessary. Patients who have a family history of breast cancer need to have genetic testing, so they need to be referred for that.
When should people start getting screened?
Age 40, unless their mother was diagnosed with breast cancer premenopausally, then we start 10 years earlier than that age. So if she was diagnosed at age 41, we would recommend that her daughter be screened at age 31.
Okay.
With mammograms. Let me just say one other thing.
Yeah,
this
sorry,
is kind of a little fun, interesting fact about African American women.
Mm-hmm.
So they have tested women for this triple negative diagnosis for breast cancer in Africa, and what they have found is that the women in East Africa don't test positive for it. It's the women in West Africa, which is where the slave trade came from. So I think there's some genetic component that we have not diagnosed yet that hasn't been found.
What is triple negative?
So triple negative means that the cancer is negative to the hormones, estrogen, progesterone, or a combination of the two. When they're positive, have positive receptors for one of those, it helps the oncologist determine the treatment. But when they're negative, they're much more aggressive, and the treatment is much more difficult and less successful.
Speaking again with Dr. Sheila Allison, any advice for people who have recently been diagnosed or for people who have been through treatment already?
Well, they certainly want to be very careful about what they're eating, drinking, applying to their skin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, I don't think they realize that our skin, we absorb whatever we put on our skin and our body, so you really want to be very careful about that. Lifestyle changes, if necessary. You need to monitor the amount of alcohol you drink, avoid smoking. Exercise and maintaining a healthy body weight is very important. Obesity is a risk factor for breast cancer because we make estrogen in fat stores.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that they adapt a healthy lifestyle and regular exercise in that case. And of course, follow up with self-breast exam and regular mammography as indicated.
All of that's good advice for everyone, right?
Absolutely.
Speaking again with Dr. Sheila Allison, anything else that people ought to know?
No, I mean, just every October, and I realize we're at the end of October, there is free mammography available through a lot of organizations for women who are uninsured or underinsured. So it's important that women avail themselves of that. And when you go see your health care provider, ask questions. If you have a family history of cancer, make sure that that's followed up on, particularly breast and colon and uterine cancers, which seem to have some commonality in certain families. And, you know, just encourage friends and relatives to do the same.
Well said. Again, this conversation presented by the Durham-Orange County Medical Society. Dr. Sheila Allison, thank you so much.
Thank you.